Good morning. We greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text this morning, as you were instructed, is from Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. I too want to thank Brother Luther for the Sunday school lesson. It was very much needed, and I appreciated it. I spent this week going over the baptismal vows in my mind, lest I forget them this morning. And the second one, when I was thinking about how it goes with what we learned this morning about the simple living. You know, in the baptismal water, each of us promised to renounce Satan and all his pernicious ways. Pernicious means subtle. Sneaky, conniving, wily. We renounce Satan and all his subtle ways and all the sinful pleasures of the world. As Brother Luther was talking about the simple life, when does the laying up of money and treasures and things of this world become sinful? Where is the line that we cross? And for each of us, perhaps it's at different places. But one of the things, I think, is when it becomes pleasurable. When it's our desire. When it's all we want to do, and what makes us feel good is to have more and more. I believe then we've crossed the line. Then we've broken our baptismal vows when we renounce all the sinful pleasures of the world. It's so easy, isn't it, to get our satisfaction, our pleasure, our reason for living in things other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and following him. May God help us. Reading from Genesis chapter 6. Beginning at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Shall we kneel for prayer?
We want to welcome you to the service this morning. And I want to thank each of you for praying. When you have this responsibility, you come closer to the end of the week, maybe some thoughts that you're having trouble to get together. Thoughts start coming, and the Holy Spirit, you can feel the Holy Spirit working. So thank you for your prayers. As we look at the scripture that was read this morning, a very familiar account of Noah building the ark and the flood there. And so I would entitle the sermon this morning, Noah and the Flood, and in parentheses, obedience. And I said to my wife this week, I said, I feel like the last number of sermons I've had have been on being obedient or obeying God's command or doing what is right or not being weary. And I feel like I'm sort of maybe on a soapbox. I don't know. But this is what I feel God has, the Holy Spirit has led me to this morning. So bear with me and pray that God would use the words that I speak this morning to honor and glorify Him. And what brought me to these thoughts, on July the 14th this year, there was some very heavy rain took place in western Lancaster County, Mount Joy area. I'm not sure where else there. But I was delivering a load of sawdust, I guess, to a turkey farm down close to Turkey Hill Dairy. And I went down 441, and the farmer had told us that 441 was closed. The bridge had been washed out. Well, the bridge was not washed out because, let me back up, there was a flash flood that took place because of that heavy thunderstorm. Mount Joy, some people had received like 9 inches of rain in an hour. That's a lot of rain. Anyways, it caused a flash flood, and where that stream emptied into the Susquehanna River was a small bridge. And that bridge had become blocked with debris that flash flood had washed to that, and it jammed it up, and it had washed over the road, and they had closed the road so they could clean all the debris up. And as I drove by that, and I looked upstream through the woods and seen the path of destruction, how it just cleaned everything out of the way. And a cornfield also that had just been a very deep gully washed in it. I thought about the flood that Noah experienced and the destruction that took place. And I can't even begin to imagine the destruction that took, well, we see some of it, but what that must have looked like as the waters came out of the ground and down from the heavens and all that took place there. But I want to look at the obedience of Noah in building the ark. Where would we be, or what would have happened if Noah would not have been obedient? If Noah would have decided to do something different? So, first of all, Noah's obedience. For us to obey God, and I believe this is where Noah was, and if you look at verse 9 there, and I should have had Brian read verse 8 as well. Look back to verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe we are all in that place. We all have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He has given us a plan of salvation. He has given us that free gift. And I want to try to bring this around, that we see a connection of Noah, the flood, and the ark as pointing towards the plan of salvation. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah is a just man and perfect in his generation. That word perfect there, I looked that up this morning. That means exactly that. That means unblemished, undefiled. It means perfect. He was walking with God. And I believe if we have a desire to walk with God, I don't know that we can reach perfection. Christ is Christ was perfect. But Noah here says, or it says here that Noah was perfect. I think we can walk above the sin of this world. But first, for us to obey God, we must have faith that God is the supreme authority and that there is no other. That God is the Almighty. That He is the one, as we sang in a song this morning that Brother Zane led, we are to hail Him, King of Kings. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. We are to lift Him up and remember and understand and accept that He is supreme, that He is the highest. If we do not believe that, if we do not accept that, if we do not embrace that, what do we have to be obedient to? What do we need to listen to? Why can't we do as we want? Why can't we do whatever seems right to myself, to you? And we all know that we are very different people. We have different ideas, different desires, and it will be very confusing. Judges 21, verse 25, in those days, and this was after the Benjaminites, I believe, rebuilt their cities, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and it wasn't good. If you look back there in Judges 25, or 21, 25 is the last verse, but if you look at the verses prior to that, there was things going on there that are not acceptable in the eyes of God. Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6, and 7, very familiar scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto, and underline this, thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So we need to accept that my ideas are not necessarily right. We need to go to Scripture. We need to go to others that have studied and understand that God has given wisdom to. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, destruction. If I do what I want to do, and we've seen that in Scripture, accounts of people that lived the way they wanted, what seemed right to them, ended up in destruction, in death. So as I was thinking about this, some questions that I think I needed to ask myself, we each should ask ourselves in reference to being obedient to God's commands. And I think depending on how we answer these questions, we'll make the commands either burdensome or not. The first question is, am I trying to be a friend of the world so that they like me? You know, so many times we want to be liked by others, don't we? We want others to like us. You know, there's the saying that we give gifts to impress the people that... How's that go? I can't get it together now. We give gifts to impress people that we don't like or something like that. But we try to get people to like us. So am I trying to be a friend of the world so that others will like me? The second one, am I... I'm getting mixed up here. It's basically the same thing. Not only am I trying to be a friend, but am I trying to be accepted? We want to be accepted. You know, there's many prophets in the Old Testament that had a message to share that was not popular. They were not liked. They were not accepted by the world around them because of the message, because of what God had given to them. But I believe depending on how we answer those questions, it will affect how we process, how we think, what we feel about, and I'm going to, instead of using the word commands in Scripture, the instructions. Because in Genesis here, it says that God gave Noah instructions on how to build the ark. If we, depending on how we answer those questions, will change the way we process the instructions and the principles that are in God's Word. If we want to be a friend of the world, if we want to be accepted by the world, the commands, the instructions that God gives us in His Word, the principles that are here, will be very difficult, will be very burdensome, will feel like we're constantly having to do something that we don't want to do because it's our human sinful nature to not want to do those things. But then on the other hand, I believe that if we don't really care, if the world accepts who I am, but we want to bring honor and worship and we love our God and we want to worship Him, the instructions He has given us, it will be much easier to obey. I'm not going to say simple or easy, but easier, because we still have that self sinful nature within us, the old man that we got to crucify. And I'm going to go to the extreme and say that I believe we can find joy in keeping His commands. We can find true inner joy in being obedient to Christ if we're willing to obey His commands, if we're willing to keep His instructions. You know, as Noah was given those instructions on how to build the ark, it says that the earth was filled with violence, it was corrupt, it was a sinful place, and if we look at the world around us today, it is not a lot different. It is full of violence. It is corrupt. It is sin on every hand. And here we are. But yet Noah, in those circumstances, he was perfect. And he walked with God. It can be done. And we, I believe, if we walk with God, can be like Noah. In the world today, they're going to tell us that those things are unnecessary. We've all heard it. In one way or another, we don't need to do whatever it is. You take it out of Scripture, somebody somewhere is going to tell you that that doesn't mean that, that you don't need to do that. But we got to remember that God is the final authority. God is the one that has inspired Scripture. People that want to take away from Scripture is trying to take away the absolute of God's authority. I believe we have two choices. It's one, to accept what they're saying, to walk, say this doesn't have anything to do with me. It's an old book. Yeah, there's some good in it, but it's not all that important. And we can experience eternal destruction. Or we can accept what this says. We can try to the best of our ability to obey God's word, to keep His commands, to follow His instructions, to love Him with our whole being, with everything I am. Then what are the rewards? The reward is eternal life. The reward is blessing. The reward is hope after death, life after death. So with those thoughts in mind of what the world around us is trying to, and it was used in our Sunday school lesson this morning, squeeze us into their mold, we better not be squeezed. I want to think about a number of the things, four different things that Noah had to do to be able to obey God's commands, His instructions on building the ark. And as God gave Noah those instructions, I can't imagine maybe what went through Noah's mind. God sometimes gives us instructions of difficult things to do. Noah was given instructions to build this ark for a flood. They didn't even know what a flood was. It never rained before. The earth was watered by dew. But God's telling Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. You need to build an ark. And he told him the dimensions of it. And I think as Noah pondered the size of that, it probably felt impossible. What are things today that God may be asking you to do that feel impossible? That may feel impossible to you to do. But as Noah was being told by God, the first point here is he was listening to God. He heard what God said, but he was listening to God. And as I thought about listening, we cannot be distracted by things around us. We cannot be distracted by society around us. And I don't believe I don't believe our society is any worse or a whole lot different than it was in Noah's time. And as I thought about, was preparing this, from the beginning of Genesis to where we are here is 6 chapters. There's not a whole lot recorded other than creation. And the next thing we see is that people were corrupt. The earth was filled with corruption, somewhere around 1700 years. But as Noah was listening to God, he was not distracted by the society around him. Brought to mind Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. In society today, there's not time to be still. Constantly on the go. If not going somewhere or doing something, or even then, there's a cell phone in hand with a screen in front of the eyes, being entertained. If that's not the case, maybe sitting at home watching TV. Whatever it is, there's not very much time to be still and know that he is God. But Noah, I believe, had time to be still and know God. He walked with God. What about you and I today? Are we listening to God speak? Am I listening? Now, we know that God speaks differently today, maybe than he did then. I don't know if he came to Noah and spoke vocally that you could hear him, or if it was in a still small still voice, I don't know. And we know that God speaks to us in different ways, but he speaks clearly, doesn't he? If we're listening, he speaks clearly. He speaks in a small still voice. He speaks through conviction. He speaks through somebody saying a word without knowing a circumstance, but he speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And as you, with the Holy Spirit, there are many other spirits as well that are speaking today. I believe those spirits are trying to imitate the sound of the Holy Spirit, trying to imitate that conviction. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The Holy Spirit will never, never contradict Scripture. And that's how we try the spirits, comparing to what Scripture says. The Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. So first, Noah was listening to God. Second, Noah heard God. You might say, well, listening and hearing is basically the same. It is. But if we hear, Noah heard. If we heard a command, we're going to do it. We're going to obey. Noah heard what God said. So I believe we can hear, but if we don't obey, we have not heard. We have not given ourselves. And if we have not heard and are not willing to obey, we have chosen to ignore what we hear. If we choose to not obey, we have chosen to ignore what we hear. And at that point, we have decided that I know better, or what I want to do is going to be better. What would have happened? I already sort of asked this question, but what would have happened if Noah would have said, well, I don't think the ark needs to be that big. He worked on it for 120 years. I don't think I want to put that much time into it. I think I'm going to build a raft for my family. The animals can take care of themselves. There would have been the end of human life. You and I wouldn't be here today. But in Genesis there, in Genesis 14 to 16, these are the instructions that Noah heard. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to it, to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. Now, I believe there was probably maybe more instruction than we have recorded here. But Noah was given those instructions, and he heard it, and he obeyed God. And because of his obedience to God, because of building that ark, he was given, through his work, he was given an ark of salvation from the flood. He was given a way of escape from the flood through God. Thirdly, Noah's obedience resulted in action. Another question, can we obey God without action? I think the answer to that is no. Obedience requires action. Because of Noah's obedience to God, instructions to build an ark, it gave Noah and his family escape. Not only him, but his family. It gave Noah and his family an escape from the flood that was to come. That would have been about as crazy of a thing to hear when you didn't even know what a flood was. What are the things we hear today that maybe seem crazy to me, to you? The instructions that God gives that may seem crazy. That still small voice that maybe calls us to go do something may seem a little crazy. I believe that Noah might have had those thoughts for a moment. But then he remembered who was speaking. When we read the Word of God and something just doesn't quite make sense to me, do I say, well, I don't understand that. I'm going to skip over that. Or do I remember who wrote it and where it come from? So as Noah obeyed God and did this thing that was crazy, and the people around him watched. I can't imagine what they may have been thinking. To build a structure of that size, because there's going to be a flood. And as we, the other year, did go to see the ark, there was a lot of interesting things there, but what really struck me was the immense size of it. And it's hard for me to imagine how Noah built that. I don't know what all for equipment and all that they may have had. But for them to build that took tremendous faith on Noah's part to put into action what God had called him to do. So as Noah obeyed God, it resulted in action. Same for us. We need to act. We cannot obey God and do nothing. Fourthly, Noah's action of building the ark resulted in ridicule. I really believe, it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture that Noah was ridiculed, but I really believe that he was. In verse 5 of Genesis 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When that is the state of society, when someone is going to follow God, there is going to be persecution and ridicule. I have no doubt in that. And as Noah was there building that ark for 120 years, him and his sons, I don't think, done it themselves, but I don't know. There was probably some people that were sympathetic and wanted to help Noah and thought, you know, maybe by doing these good deeds, I can get on the ark too. But they didn't want to accept what Noah was preaching. But there were, I'm sure, many that ridiculed him. And when we follow God's word and we do what he calls us to do and we obey him because of our love for him, there are going to be others that hate us. And hatred causes people to do some really crazy stuff, unimaginable things. And we know, you can look in history of this world and you can read and you can see images of the Holocaust and the persecutions and the many different things that hatred has done to people. So that sort of ties in back to, am I trying to be liked by the world? Am I trying to be accepted by the world? John 15:18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. We can know we are on the right path if the world around us is hating us. So just as Noah's obedience to God caused him persecution, likewise, we should expect nothing less when we are obedient. We are not going to be liked. We are not going to be accepted. But we need to stand for the one that is absolutely right, has the authority, and will judge. James 4:4, talking about being friends of the world, being liked by the world, a very familiar scripture. James 4:4, ye adulteresses and adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Who here wants to be an enemy of God? We know that Satan is his arch enemy. He will defeat him. He already has at Calvary. He has been defeated. So we must obey God, God's word, his spirit, his voice, and not be in friendship with the world. Because of Noah's faith, he obeyed God. He done a lot of hard work. And I believe he was very diligent in doing what God commanded him. How diligent am I? How diligent are you in keeping his commands? I believe he was diligent right down to the food he gathered for him and his family, for the animals, the food he gathered for the animals, down to the very last detail. So when God called those animals into the ark, it was ready to float. And when the door was shut, there was no, oh, I forgot. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, what about that? I believe he was very diligent because there was certain destruction, if not. And today, if we are not diligent, there is certain destruction to come. We're living in an age of grace, but that day is going to end. I don't know when. Nobody does, but it is going to end. And as I was studying and meditating on these thoughts, one morning for devotions, I read Revelations chapter 8. And might have been 7 and 8. But talk about destruction. Destruction is coming. Talking about the trumpet that are going to be sounded, the things that are going to happen. I'm not going to take the time to read those verses there, but Revelations 8, starting at verse 7 on down through chapter 9, into chapter 10, I believe there. We can't imagine what that's going to be like. Just in that first verse there, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. We can't imagine what that's going to be like. But I said in the beginning, I wanted to bring this around to show that the flood, Noah, the ark, was pointing towards the plan of salvation. It says that Noah was perfect and walked with God. I realize he wasn't perfect, I don't believe, in the same sense. No, he wasn't perfect in the same sense as Christ was perfect. But it says that Noah was perfect. He walked with God. And he built an ark that was salvation to him and his family. Christ came. He was perfect. He walked with God, his Father. He fulfilled the plan of salvation to give us all an escape from certain destruction. We, just as Noah, must obey God, keep his commands, love commands or his instructions, love him with all of our heart and our whole being, and not follow after the fads and the fashions of this world and even the thought processes and all that takes place. We must walk with God. How do we walk with God? We read his word. We pray. We spend time being still and listening and knowing that he is God. So we must walk with God. We must be in his will so we too can be in that ark of safety so that we do not experience eternal destruction. And I believe that as we here in a few moments are going to have prayer for Nathan and Elizabeth and Aaron, I believe they've heard the voice of God calling on their lives. And they've answered. Then they knew that it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. What about you and I? What is God saying to you? What is God calling you to do? What is that small, still voice saying to you this morning, Brother Paul?
I thought we have a message from Noah's Ark, and Peter says that the Ark is a picture of what baptism is. If we look at the typology of Noah and the Ark as a picture of baptism, first of all, we're told in Peter it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. That's what baptism represents. And so just as Noah responded to God's plan as someone who found grace in the eyes of the Lord and said yes in obedience, that's what baptism is a picture of. It's saying, yes, I will follow Jesus. The ark was also a picture of deliverance from judgment. Going into the ark became separation from the judgment on the world. And in that way, it also became separation from the world. And so the message this morning is very appropriate with the baptismal service that we anticipate.